from WJCT in Jacksonville. This is our weekly news magazine, the news podcast of the First Coast. I'm your host, Michelle Corum, and this is Redux. On Redux for the week of July 14th, are police needlessly nabbing jaywalkers?
It really annoys and irritates people in poor areas which have lots of social problems and need all the police help they can get to see police resources wasted on jaywalkers.
Some people think it's unfair and a missed opportunity by police. And is targeting black churches with information the way to reduce health risks? Humana thinks so.
We know historically that black churches have been the hub of all education for black people.
And guess what's still going on? That's right, the Overland Bridge Project. Enter Jessica Palumbo with news on a new exit. And finally, eager canines with bad habits get some corrections from inmates. Lindsay Kilbride explains in a bit. It's all coming up on Redux. One of the two traffic tickets issued last month to a 21-year-old man has been dropped in connection to a jaywalking charge that was recorded on video and has since gone viral across the country. Here's a snippet of it.
I'm about to put you in jail.
For what?
Disobeying a direct order.
That's not disobeying a direct order.
Resisting without.
That's not
walking
the resisting.
My car.
That is not resisting, officer. That is not resisting.
Listen to me. I am doing you a favor.
Devontae Shipman was cited for failing to obey a walk signal and not having a driver's license, despite the fact he was on foot at the time. The driver's license charge was dropped, but the incident has again fanned the flames of longstanding accusations that the JSO, the Jacksonville Sheriff's Office, targets African Americans for harassment. Jacksonville Community Action Committee member Sarah Mahmoud says there should be consequences for what she sees as racial profiling.
We need to make it clear that there is going to be accountability for these officers.
This was a hot topic on the weekly media roundtable on First Coast Connect. Reporters had their input.
This was a missed opportunity by this JSO officer to maybe just, I don't know, simply educate this young man on the law and move on. Instead, it was turned into this big confrontation. It's now a video, it's gone viral, and now we're talking about it on First Coast Connect.
And there were plenty of calls on it.
I've had multiple run-ins, not lately, I'm 60 years old now, but I've had multiple run-ins with the Jacksonville Sheriff's Office, and they talk to me like I'm a dog.
And from what I've seen here, and as far as the conduct of the police here have carte blanche. We're talking about a jaywalking incident.
So far, a court date has not been set. To make residents healthier, the Humana Foundation is giving thousands of dollars, $400,000 to be exact, to four different Jacksonville projects. Ryan Bank tells us that one of them is the Health Smart Church Center program.
At the Edward Waters College Chapel Monday, a giant foam check for just under $200,000 is being presented to Carolyn Tucker. She's the director of UF Health's Health Disparities Research, and now she's starting up the Health Smart Church Center, which she says will bring health tracking into churches.
We know historically that black churches have been the hub of all education for black people. They've also had, you know, the politics, the health promotion, everything has always happened in the church, not just the spiritual part. So that's one piece.
HealthSmart will deputize monitors to follow 30 congregants in each of six black churches around the Newtown Success Zone neighborhood. For 2 months, overweight church members suffering from diabetes, high blood pressure, and hypertension will also get special coaching to reduce their health risks. Tucker says the grant from Humana will go a long way to eventually expanding Health Smart to entire congregations and make the program permanent.
Having medical students, having interns and residents actually teaching people to prepare for healthcare visits, to actually do the weighing and taking people's blood pressure and all of that.
In a pilot of the program Tucker did in the Bronx, she found Black and Hispanic neighborhoods were most in need of health interventions. Ryan Bank, WJCT News.
The massive Overland Bridge construction project on I-95 in downtown Jacksonville, you've probably been on it. It's set to wrap up in a couple of months. In this business brief, Modern Cities co-founder Ennis Davis tells WJCT News Director Jessica Palumbo there's a new exit off of the highway expected to spur development around San Marco and St. Nicholas.
Ennis, we're just talking about one exit here?
Yes, one exit. So this exit, which is where Atlantic Boulevard, Phillips Highway, and Kings Avenue converge, it'd be the first time that you'll have a gateway to San Marco and St. Nicholas from I-95 in 60 years.
When I'm thinking about where I want to put my business, I want easy highway access. I want people to be able to see it from 95.
Correct. You want to have as much visibility as possible, whether it's vehicular traffic or pedestrian traffic, a mix of both, and having this new interchange come in where you have increased visibility along all three of these corridors, which have been somewhat desolate now they're having a rebirth.
Have we seen the effect of this coming already?
In early 2016, Daly's, for example, opened up a new 5,000 square foot gas station a block east of this interchange. And currently, a local developer, Mark Rubin, has started work on the reconstruction of an existing 7,500 square foot building that'll be mixed use, featuring a restaurant at street level, as well as office space on the second floor. That project is just east of the FEC Railroad Crossing on Atlantic Boulevard in San Marco.
Things are already starting to be developed here, but there's a lot more to come after the new exit is open at Atlantic Boulevard. What can we expect?
There are a couple major projects that really complement each other. One is being proposed by Jacksonville-based Chance Partners. This is a multifamily developer that is looking into taking a former 17-acre car dealership and putting the mixed-use project that could have as many as 640 apartment units. That's going to be on Phillips Highway right at the new interchange. The impact of significant new residential growth and development has led to a boom in a complement industry, which is the self-storage industry. Nationwide, there's about $1 billion worth of construction projects in this industry taking place around the country. Jacksonville is a new growth area. And so just north of Phillips Highway on Kings Avenue, there are two projects proposed that will begin construction this fall. Combined, you're looking at about 1,400 climate-controlled self-storage units, as well as about 220,000 square feet of space in four-story buildings.
So we're expecting more people to move to this area, and they're going to have a place to store all of their stuff as well. That's the Overland Bridge project, one of the most expensive the Florida Department of Transportation is undertaking, expected to wrap up and open up this exit at Atlantic Boulevard this fall. We'll see if that actually happens. Ennis Davis is co-founder of Modern Cities. That's at moderncities.com. I'm WJCT News Director Jessica Palumbo.
Hi, this is Andrew Wickman, host of Blues Horizon, airing Monday and Wednesday nights at 11 as part of WJCT's After Hours music programming. The blues is about dynamics, excitement, emotion, and exploring the core of what it means to be a musician. Coming up next week, we're going to dip into the vault and listen to some rare and classic tracks by Lonnie Mack, Mike Bloomfield, Buddy Guy, Pinetop Perkins, and Blind Lemon Jefferson.
Tell me, well,
And we'll fast forward to the best in new music. Dave Renson, Pat Ramsey, Selwyn Birchwood, The Cashbox Kings, Moreland and Arbuckle, and Coco Montoya. If you're online, check out our Facebook page where we'll have an exclusive interview with Coco Montoya and an exclusive performance from Selwyn Birchwood, Blues Horizon, this Monday and Wednesday night at 11 on 89.9 WJCT as part of WJCT's After Hours Music Programming. Your community, your world, your music.
Eight dogs dodged euthanasia to graduate from a canine training camp this week, and their trainers do come from the Corrections Department, that is, the Northside's Montgomery Correctional Center. Lindsay Kilbride reports that it was a program started about 3 years ago.
30-year-old inmate Chris Lance has been training a stocky tan dog named Waylon for over 2 months. Waylon showed up eating everything in sight and not housebroken. But today, he does tricks like this.
Yes. Look at me. Orange. Blue. Go Gators.
Waylon high-fives Lance with both paws. Waylon is earning his PhD today for being one of the class's most well-behaved. Program Executive Director Jen Dean says that's a big step considering she takes only dogs with major issues.
The dogs that jump on people, that chew things, that aren't potty trained, generally it's the big dogs because that's what stays in the shelters longer than anything else.
Waylon is going home with a family today after sleeping beside Lance's bunk every night as he serves his 7-month sentence.
So definitely reinforce my patience. Especially with Waylon, and keeps your mind off of things, you know.
And the privilege of living in the dog dorm helps keep down conflict between inmates, he says.
When we get out, we don't want to come back in here for any reason.
A University of North Florida study determined the program has the potential to reduce the number of released inmates who wind up back behind bars. Lance says when he gets out, he wants to become a certified dog trainer. Lindsay Kilbride, WJCT News.
And that's our show. You can find all of our audio and web stories at WJCTnews.org. You can also stream this podcast as well as all of our on-air content on the WJCT app, which is available on iTunes and the Google Play Store. And of course, find us on your favorite podcast app and hit subscribe. I'm Michelle Corum for Redux.